This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Tony Cox. At this time of year, in theaters and school halls everywhere, Tiny Tim and Ebenezer Scrooge are strutting their stuff in Charles Dickens' classic A Christmas Carol. The story reminds us that the spirit of the season can transform even the most hard-hearted folk. But what if we've got Scrooge all wrong? What if he's really a model of frugality and good business practice? Reporter Christopher Worth in London took a fresh look at the real economic message of that classic holiday tale.
Nephew, you keep Christmas in your way, let me keep it in mine.
In the basement of a West London church, actors rehearse a scene from A Christmas Carol. Tony Bell plays Scrooge.
Bah, humbug!
Scrooge and his clerk, Bob Cratchit, sit in a freezing office on Christmas Eve. The year is 1843, and Cratchit tries to warm himself with the heat from a single lump of coal. At one point, Scrooge turns to Cratchit and asks,
"You'll be wanting the whole day off tomorrow, I suppose."
"If it's convenient," replies Cratchit.
"It's not convenient and it's not fair."
Scrooge is the epitome of the bad boss. He keeps the thermostat low, you have to beg for a day off, and don't even think about an office holiday party. At least, that's the standard interpretation. Bruce Buena de Mesquita is a political scientist at New York University and the author of The Trial of Ebenezer Scrooge. He says we have Scrooge all wrong.
If you read the hard economics in A Christmas Carol, Dickens portrays Scrooge as a man who was generous to a fault.
For example, he claims Scrooge paid Cratchit more than the going rate in mid-19th century London.
A lot more. Bob Cratchit was paid, according to A Christmas Carol, 15 shillings a week. The average clerk in a counting house was paid 11 shillings sixpence a week.
So, although Dickens portrays the Cratchit family as poor, Buena de Mesquita says just compare Scrooge's lifestyle with Cratchit's.
Bob Cratchit owned a home. Bob Cratchit had enough money to have 15 rounds of gin punch and enough goose to feed the entire large family. Ebenezer Scrooge, on the other hand, lived in a rundown neighborhood and as little coal as Bob Cratchit had for his fire at the office, Scrooge had less.
And to save money, Scrooge works by the light of a single candle and eats nothing but a bowl of thin gruel. One might say he's a perfect example of how to live on a budget. Buena de Mesquita says at any time, Scrooge could have replaced Cratchit with someone cheaper.
But Ebenezer didn't fire Bob. He kept him on. He was a very good man. He's misunderstood.
Of course, Dickens might take issue with that interpretation. Florian Schweitzer of the Dickens Museum in London says there's no doubt that Scrooge is a miserable penny-pinching businessman, but
Scrooge is the embodiment of somebody who can change.
And change he does. Back at the rehearsal, Scrooge throws open his window after he's visited by three spirits and yells down to the street below,
"Merry Christmas to everybody! A Happy New Year to all the world!"
Then he sends a boy to the poultry shop to buy the largest turkey in the window.
"We're going to send it to Bob Cratchit's. It'll be such a surprise."
But what happens to Scrooge and Cratchit's employer-employee relationship after Christmas? Sarah Squire is a fellow at the Liberty Fund who writes about Dickens. She says Scrooge's generosity can only last so long.
In January, Scrooge and Bob Cratchit are going to have to go back to the office. And they're going to have to come to some sort of meeting point between where Scrooge was previously and where Scrooge is on Christmas morning, handing out geese like there's no tomorrow, because there is going to be a tomorrow.
She says Scrooge would do well to balance his newfound enthusiasm for charity with his insatiable propensity to save. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.